Actually, we'll be interviewing as a team.
We're here to fuck shit up.
When you bring me out, can you introduce me as
Jake
Stewart?
And I'm Matt.
And this is the Nuclear Fridge.
It's completely insane. You guys are idiots.
Do you have nuclear weapons?
In the fridge.
Is that nuclear waste?
This whole fridge is a joke.
Honey, you are a regular nuclear meltdown.
You and I are not so different.
Stupid fridge guys.
Well, to each his own.
Go to school, boys.
It's time to do a podcast now, Walter.
Oh, no.
Put your dick away, Walter. Put your dick away, Walter. It's time to do a podcast now, Walter.
Went right for it, huh?
Yeah. I was trying to think of how to start this episode. And the only way was to
You thought of that summon ago when you were
doing, pretty much
in the midst of our COD session micro intro.
No, I wasn't. I didn't think of it in the midst of it. I was thinking of it lying in bed later that night, thinking about all the good times we had.
That was a fun night. We won Warzone 3 times.
I thought it was 4 times
or 4 times,
something like that.
Yeah,
maybe four. Crazy, dude.
No, you know
what? We won Resurgence Warzone, which is...
Jake, shut the fuck up.
Okay.
Say that.
Yeah, Jake, what the hell's wrong with you?
Okay, yeah, well,
I'm sorry.
I believe
Jake's
being honest and true.
I'm proud of that.
It's harder, because the guys you kill can come back. So it's way harder.
I mean, one
of you has to survive long enough. And it's the same kill.
There's more teamwork
and
for
it's the
sure.
Same kill damage and stuff. I think. I don't know. I mean, we haven't won in the newest COD until that night. So
yeah, we are the sheriffs of biolabs.
That's true.
Yeah.
The biolabs.
Hold that shit down.
I look forward to doing it more.
I literally never want to drop anywhere but biolabs.
On the roof too. Got to stay
on
the roof.
Stay on the roof as long as possible. And then make our way to the left. We're just like everyone listening, just writing our strats. They're gonna fucking stream snipe us, podcast snipe us.
No, they're gonna do it. And they're gonna be like, "This is a horrible strategy."
Yeah,
they just somehow make it work. We made it work though.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we had some close encounters, but in the end, we mostly won that night.
It was pretty good, Ben.
I'm glad, dude.
I'm fucking glad. Video games are back, dude.
Video games are back. I was in the office today, and we found out that apparently John Woo's Stranglehold is available on GOG for $2 right now.
Hell yeah, dude.
GOG. It's like Steam. PC it's like gaming. A Steam competitor, essentially.
Not another one. just put it
no,
on
this
Steam.
No, this one's a good one, dude. What the hell's wrong
put
with
it
you?
On Steam.
Well,
no, because Steam
have everything everywhere.
Okay.
What are you talking about? There's no exclusive shit on the PC. You just download another program.
Yeah, and also the thing with GOG, Stuart, is that it's all DRM free. So like all the games, and they do a lot of work to like that wouldn't exist on PC right now if it weren't for GOG. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
100%. I have nothing against GOG. I think it's more just it'd be nice. If
GOG
it,
is
you could have everything
CD Projekt Red's thing.
If you have everything in one place, that'd be nice.
I mean, yeah, that would be nice, but I don't know. There's the Rockstar launcher. There's the Ubisoft Play launcher. There's the.
But those
the
Rockstar
Epic games
like are on, but like those are like on Steam.
Yeah, but you launch a Rockstar game and then it loads up the Rockstar launcher and you have to log in there.
Yeah, you have to. Then you're running two launchers at the same time.
Yeah, that same sucks. With Siege. So like Siege, you know, I launch it through Steam, but it has to launch my.
You have to log into Ubisoft.
Yeah, you have to log into Ubisoft, and then Epic Games. That's the only way you can play Fortnite. And GOG is interesting because it is everything on there is DRM free. So anything you get there, you could technically just share with friends. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and there are a lot of old games that are on Steam that don't fucking work because Steam will just let you put anything on Steam.
That's pretty. This sounds pretty nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
GOG is cool.
They actually also like don't they seek out games and then they get hey we want to make this game from 1995 run on modern PCs.
Yeah, I mean they have done that before, but I was going to say a pretty recent big example was Alpha Protocol, that game that Mikey worked on. At Obsidian that got delisted by Sega because I think a couple of the songs in there, the copyright had ended. So they like couldn't really do anything about it because it was in Sega's hands, but GOG managed to find all that. And I think they even like patched out some bugs that were never fixed as well. So like for a while there, it was impossible to play Alpha Protocol unless you, you know, track down a physical copy, which could be kind of tough depending on the game. But they set it up so you can just log into GOG, buy it for, I don't know, 10 bucks, however much it is, which is cool. Anyway, all that to say,
I'm going to,
I completely forgot about that game. And I was watching, coworker and friend John Luke play it, and it is so ridiculous. I forgot how absurd that game is. It's
I love Stranglehold.
It's there's so much slow motion. You slide down rails shooting people, and you can slide on rails, jump off, land on carts, and then the cart starts sliding and you're shooting people while sliding on the cart. It's badass. So cool.
I'm fucking here it is. Buying it right now.
$2.
Yeah. $2.
You can play it on your PC.
This game contains mature content, are you sure? Yeah, buddy.
Stuart's favorite thing in the world, mature content.
Hell yeah, brother.
Wouldn't want it any other way, Walter.
Walter. Yeah, I also I got that fucking controller and that guitar controller.
Oh, have you used it yet?
All right.
Been playing some Rock Band 4.
AKA Fortnite.
I downloaded Rock Band 4 and then it downloaded a whole bunch of songs, and I don't think I ever owned Rock Band anything on any console, but it downloaded a whole bunch of very specific Teenage Matt songs that
probably songs you bought and forgot.
Yeah, it was like Dragula by Rob Zombie.
Let's fucking go.
And like Apache Rose Peacock by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
But like I don't remember ever buying these songs, and also
you bought them.
I also can't imagine they released like a soundtrack of songs that are just songs that I loved as a kid. It's pretty fucking dope. So I bought even more songs.
Have you used it on Fortnite yet?
I'm surprised you can still buy songs. Like, they're still available.
It's so cool, man. I've used it in Fortnite, and it's all right. But I mean, obviously, Rock Band has a lot more songs, and but I did. I'm gonna post a picture in our little podcast chat room here. I'm gonna post a picture of a song I bought all the Rob Zombie songs, including this particular one that Stuart will see in a minute.
Teenage Nosferatu. Let me see.
Oh hell yeah. All right,
fuck yeah.
Yeah, the Punisher war song.
Yeah, man.
So you guys will have to get a microphone set up, and then another guitar or drums, and then we'll fucking play online. We'll fucking jam out.
I have to get one. Yeah, I've seen photos of people's guitars, and at first I was like, I don't really think I want one of those. But after seeing it, I'm like, man, it'd be fun to just play some guitar, play some Rock Band guitar, Fortnite guitar, whatever the hell it is these days.
Yeah, dude, it is fun, man. It's good shit. Yeah, fucking.
It works well with Chili Fortnite, Peppers, though, right?
Sorry?
It works well with the Fortnite music, right?
Yeah. Sick. It's a little weird. I gotta fuck around with it, but yeah, man, it's fucking dope, dude. Fucking instruments are back, baby.
Instruments are back. You heard it here first.
And fucking Dragula still rips.
Dragula never stopped ripping.
Dude, it's ripping 24/7. It's so fucking good.
Are they sold out of those?
I don't know. You can look it up on the internet. You can look it up. You gonna look it up?
Oh yeah, on Amazon here it's sold out, but you can buy it for $310.
Check it out on what's it called? Walmart or Best Buy or something. I mean, we're not going to sit here and just like guitar controllers, but
no, absolutely not.
Definitely check it out, man.
I'll check it out, man.
Yeah, but I've been fucking digging the shit out of that.
If they start releasing the other instruments, are you going to get them?
You know what? I was like, I'll just get the guitar. But if they release a drum set, I'd probably buy the drum set.
What about a mic?
Well, I've got all the Rock Band mics, but I might as well buy a new one, I guess.
What about a bass? Like a proper bass, not like just another guitar.
Oh, fuck. If they like made like an upright bass version.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking...
So basically, unless you... If you want to... Oh, wait.
What's going on over there, Stu?
Yeah, this thing's fucking sold out everywhere, even Best Buy. Oh well.
Damn, I think it's still available up from at Best Buy. Remember to buy the Xbox version because there's two versions.
I know that.
Okay, just making sure.
It's on eBay.
That's so weird, man. It's right here.
I think the Canadians don't care so much to buy the Xbox guitar, so maybe it's just more available up.
Oh, no, it's not. I just looked on the website. It's also sold out in Canada.
Damn.
The Canadians bought all of them.
Dude, people got too fucking hype.
I remember.
They added fucking Rock Band to Fortnite, and they were like, shit.
The first time I played Guitar Hero, I think was Guitar Hero 1, and it was at your house, Stuart. I remember, I think Philip in Brooklyn had it, and they like brought it over. Or maybe Zach had it or something like that, and I think
Phil and them brought over because Phil was just very good at it.
Yeah, I remember just like playing it in Zach's room until, well, back when I think you both shared a room, but I remember playing it in that room until like midnight or whatever. And then I think everyone's parents were sick of hearing Take Me Out for the 40th time. Good times.
I think
the last time I played a Rock Band or guitar game was, I think we were... at Dunk's.
I think I was there too.
And I think you were there too. And I know I did Stay In Alive because it's just my go-to.
Yeah.
Fun game. Fun game with the right people. Fun game.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That was a good birthday when I got Guitar Hero 1. God, dude. I remember I played guitar.
I mean, it's no Donkey Konga.
Donkey Kong. No, Donkey Kong. The first time I played that was at your house, Stuart, because I remember I think Randy bought it for you guys or something, and we were just
on Christmas or something. Yeah. Yeah. And then there was just like the total cheat that you could just hit both for every note.
For every note, and it would work. Yeah.
And it would work just fine. It was cool, though. I got a kick out of it.
Yeah, it was fun.
I fucking loved that game.
Good time.
Good.
I had a lot of friends who were like, because I play guitar, so I had a lot of like buddies who play guitar too. I remember there was like this fucking divide. There were the guitarists that were like, just learn guitar, you losers. What are you doing? All of those people now love Rock Band. They're fucking idiots. Actually, they're good friends of mine, but
I mean, they could still be idiots.
Yeah, they can. I mean, yeah.
They were acting like fools back in high school. They didn't realize how awesome Guitar Hero was.
The only thing that Guitar Hero did for me in high school was ruin the Beatles.
Really? Why?
Because when the Beatles Rock Band came out, that's like all everyone like obsessed over, and it just made me sick of the Beatles.
Like everyone, like
everyone was
as
just
in
playing the Beatles, singing the Beatles.
Your entire community was playing
that.
The Beatles
I mean,
Rock Band?
I remember getting the all Beatles the Beatles Rock Band and playing it, but I don't remember people freaking out over the Beatles because of that.
I remember people freaking out about the Beatles because of Across the Universe. Which
yeah,
is a bad
I remember
movie.
That. I remember that.
I hated that movie.
I didn't see it, but I think when I found out it was all covers, I was like, not interested, you know? Maybe
yeah,
those well, covers well, are good.
Isn't it the guy from 21?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sturgis,
the English
Sturgis?
Guy. Jim Sturgis. Yeah. God. Yeah, I hated it, dude. It was so cringy. And like Bono was in it, and
wasn't
he played
it
a character.
Like a, wasn't it though like a good looking film?
No, I didn't like the way it looked because it was like there was one scene with Salma Hayek as a nurse. I liked that scene, but otherwise,
because I think it
not
looked,
a good movie.
Like at the time, I remember thinking it looked kind of cool, but I bet if you watched it now, it would look like shit.
I just remember
like
seeing,
CG Uncle
remember,
Sam.
Like, the trailers, like visually, it looked interesting. I just never cared to see it.
On a,
I don't know. It looked like stupid, dumb, idiot, psychedelia bullshit. And it was like, because the thing I hated about it was like, everyone loved the Beatles.
We found the movie that Matt hates.
Everyone loved the Beatles after that movie came out, which is fine. You can love the Beatles, but when you say I love the Beatles
when they first started,
I liked them before they were famous. Yeah.
I liked the Beatles growing up.
I liked the Beatles too, but if you're saying I like the Beatles and you listen to the fucking Across the Universe soundtrack, like. Fucking have some respect for yourself.
But maybe that was the point of it, was to be more of an homage as opposed to just like celebrating their music purely and playing their actual songs. You know what I mean? Like maybe they wanted it to be like covers as like.
Yeah, it's corny as hell.
It was a musical. Like, yeah. Of course there were covers. Like, I'm just saying it was a bad musical.
I mean, I don't care.
They literally said, all right, let's get all of the names that are mentioned in Beatles songs and then just make characters. Like this one, this guy's named JoJo because JoJo...
Like the Bizarre Adventure.
Yeah, exactly. That because the Beatles created JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And this character is Sadie. And this character is Lucy. And this character is Michelle, probably, at some point. And
I like their art for Yellow Submarine.
Max. There's a character named Max because of Maxwell Silverhammer. And it's just a bad movie.
Do they have a character named Eleanor?
What?
For Eleanor Rigby.
I
guarantee you. I'm going to look up the... Bono plays Dr.
I love that Matt is
Bono's in it.
Matt, how are you the guy here that I know loves the Beatles and you didn't understand that? That was such a surface level reference.
The main character is called Jude.
Jake, do you see he just completely blew me off?
I did, yeah.
It's because I'm moving on.
Do you not know the song Eleanor Rigby?
I do.
Then how did you not understand my reference? I asked
well,
you
because
if there
was looking
a character
up
named
a fucking
Eleanor
cast
and you were
at
just
the same
like,
time.
Eh?
Well, because I was looking up the cast
is there
at the
a
same
character
time,
named
you were
Eleanor?
Like, no, there is not a character named Eleanor.
Well, then the movie's awful. What a missed opportunity.
There's a character named Prudence.
I love the name Prudence. Because
there's a song
name.
Called Dear Prudence.
No,
so
I know that, but like I'm
when
saying.
When Prudence is
like,
sad, they sing Dear
name.
Prudence to her.
Oh, that's kind of clever. Maybe
is there
this
a
is a good movie.
Is there a scene when they're in a yellow submarine?
No, but I think they go on a magical mystery tour.
Well, that's not fun. I mean, why would you not do the
with
submarine?
Dr. Robert? Played by Bono. Mother Superior is in the movie.
Does John Lennon make it in the end in this
Mr.
movie?
Mr. Kite is played by Eddie Izzard because that's
dude,
the name
Eddie
that
Izzard's
is mentioned.
Great. Great.
Right. It's a bad movie.
Okay. I mean, I'm not. I like this conversation hasn't changed my mind of watching it.
Except
for
the one
not,
scene,
probably not
with Selma Hayek as a nurse.
Does she sing?
No. She's just in the background as a nurse.
Are you serious? You get Selma Hayek and you just put her in the background? Okay, this is a terrible movie. What is this?
Well, I guess she's not technically in the background, but she's just there. Like she's just a sexy nurse in a
what is it
syringe.
With these? What is it with these Beatles films wasting beautiful? There's Yesterday. Ana de Armas was supposed to be in it. Wasn't in the movie.
Wait, why?
Wasn't that movie about the Beatles?
Yeah, but that was the one where the guy stole the Beatles, right?
Yeah, he stole the Beatles and like they never. He's the one that made their songs, but he did it all from his own memory. And then in the commercials, they advertised Ana de Armas was in it, but she wasn't. And then some people who saw the movie sued them because Ana de Armas was in it, and they actually won something out of that.
Wait a second. What happened with Ana de Armas?
She shot something. I know. Do you listen to me when I talk
well,
to you?
Well, no, but like...
No, they shot scenes with Ana de Armas.
You explained it, but you...
And then,
why were people thinking that she was in the fucking movie?
Because
she was in
the trailers. She was in the trailers.
Like she had scenes that were cut, is what you're saying?
Yeah, but they advertised the movie.
That's how you explain something to your friend, Stuart.
Yes, they advertised.
He explained it well. I followed him.
Thank you, Jake.
I didn't.
They put her in the trailers. I don't know how else. I mean, if that you don't get that. Matt, you understand that. I know you understand what I meant. Ana de Armas was in the trailers. She had shot scenes for the movie. People went to see the movie, and I guess they were big fans of Ana de Armas, and she wasn't in it. So they sued, and they won.
That sucks for for Danny Boyle, man.
I mean, it sucks for Danny Boyle.
The thing is, like, any fucking Beatles thing, I don't know. Like, I love the Beatles, but I find Yesterday cringy. I found, like, Across the Universe cringy.
Come on, John.
I don't know. I just find that shit... I find, like, biopics super cringy, too, for the most part.
Yeah, I think that genre mostly falls flat. Like, there's a few that I like that I really like Walk the Line. Woo! Dewey Cox, of course, you know.
Walk Hard, hell yeah.
Walk Hard. No, but I think like God, even Straight Outta Compton was like almost good, but like not really, you know. I don't know.
Rocket Man, that oh my God.
Yeah.
There's a scene where little Elton John, he's in a bar and he's playing piano, and then a fight breaks out, and then a little kid is singing Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting, and I wanted to like
isn't Rocket Man, at least to its credit, supposed to be kind of like a non?
It's a fantastical musical, yeah. Like, but like at the same time, I like some musicals, but there's like a large swath of them that I just get so fucking like
Les Misérables.
Oh my God, I get secondhand embarrassment because it's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm there. I was at the bar just there for a drink, and then a kid started playing music and started being cringy, and now I'm embarrassed.
Fair enough.
I'm sorry, man.
And Rocket Man's pretty cringy.
Did anyone see Weird? That Weird Al movie? I heard that one was pretty good.
I wanted to.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Apparently, it is like more of a spoof of biopics than it is actually one. Like, so much of it apparently is like made up, but it doesn't. But it plays it straight. I don't know. It from what I've heard, it sounds really good. I've been meaning to see it, but I have not yet.
I'll have to check it out at some point. I don't know what it's on or anything.
Yeah, we should like rank biopics, whatever.
That'd be a fun episode. I mean, I already know what number one would be, but sure.
I think Walk the Line was the last one out. Like, it was the one that got out before biopics started to become super cringy.
Yeah.
Ray was really good.
Yeah, Ray was first.
I guess Ray came out. I guess it did come out before that.
Yeah. Of the two, anyway, it was first.
I think like the problem I is don't know. Like, I'd have most to think. Of those movies, like they feel like they always need to have like a moral to them, you know, where it's like, here's the point of all this. This person did all these drugs and made these mistakes, but like, here's the point. And sometimes it's just like, it's like doesn't
forgiveness.
Need a, yeah, it sometimes it's just like, man, just. You don't need to explain away every single mistake that this person, you know, like just, I don't know.
It's human.
Well, like Bohemian Rhapsody literally put events in a certain order, not in the way they actually happened in reality, so that they fit the drama of the movie.
Yeah, stuff like that. It was just kind of like, yeah, I don't know.
You know what I think is a really bad idea?
I guess
too?
We should say, before we move on, though, I guess we should say we're talking about like musician biopics, not like. Because, like, you know, Oppenheimer is one, you know?
Yeah, well, no.
Oppenheimer also doesn't tackle the dude's entire life from
sure.
Like, child to death.
I'm just saying, like, I mean, even, like when I look up top biopics, I also see The Iron Claw, which, like, I feel like that doesn't quite fall into the category we're talking about.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, a good span of their lives, though, enough that I would get how it would fall into the category as well.
I don't want to be like a genre cop here, but like, sure, technically there are a lot of movies that we love that are biopics, but the biopics we're talking about are specifically
like music based, like musicians.
The music ones are usually the ones that fall the most in this. It's when it's like, here he was as a kid, and now you get to see his whole life.
Yeah. Did you guys see I'm Not There? Isn't that Bob Dylan one?
Oh yeah. I remember
Bob Dylan so were like a bunch of people.
I did, and I only saw it because Christian Bale was in it.
Yeah.
And it was...
I was really confused as a kid. All
right.
I was confused, too. But speaking of Bob Dylan, we've got the Timothy Chalamet Bob Dylan movie.
Dude,
I mean, it is James Mangold.
Yeah, well, but what if he does the fucking Austin Butler thing where he just is stuck with Bob Dylan's voice for the rest of his
life?
Then
I'll give an apology to Austin Butler.
No, I'll give a high five to Timothée Chalamet for fucking Bob Dylan for the rest of his life.
It's even weirder because Bob Dylan's still alive too, so it'd be like the guy's still alive.
I just want to. Is he actually singing for the movie?
I don't know, but you literally, know what I think's a bad idea?
To be fair,
you can't be above. Like out of 10, like you can't even be above a 6 or a 7 without actual singing, in my opinion.
I tend to agree. I think
what's the point of showing a performance if you're not actually doing
it? Yeah. Like to me, it just comes off so bad.
I do think trying to like get Bob Dylan's voice down might be kind of hard.
I mean, but like at the same time, like, I mean, kind of like with Walk the Line, like as long as he got the essence of it, I don't really care how much he sounds like him.
Yeah, it's more about the performance than it is the like what how close it sounds.
Like if Timothée Chalamet has like a decent voice and he's able to give a good performance in it, I don't really mind if he doesn't sound just like Bob Dylan. But at the same time, though, I could also totally just see them not wanting to even potentially make anyone upset and be like, okay, we're just gonna have to use Bob Dylan,
right? Well,
who knows? But it is James Mangold. That gives me hope.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and finish the sentence this time.
Director James Mangold previously revealed that Chalamet would do his own singing in the Dylan approved film.
There you go.
Already bonus point.
Hold on for a second, Stuart. I want to finish this because I've said this 3 times. It's getting to be embarrassing.
Okay.
What I think of, fuck, now I'm all fucked
up.
You just
goofed it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Okay, I think this is a terrible fucking idea. Okay. But that Michael Jackson biopic that's coming out, I think is a fucking bad idea.
Why, Matt?
Well, one, I think the dude has a pretty controversial life with ramifications that still live with us today. And,
allegedly...
Well, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter if he did or didn't do it. You still make that movie. What do you do with that part?
I mean,
do you just not show it? And then it's like, oh, cool. Now we have a biopic that, like you said with Freddie Mercury, it kind of skirts the negative stuff.
I mean, I don't think it's. I mean, personally, I agree that I don't think it's a good idea. I just think though, it'll be one of those situations. I mean, like Straight Outta Compton, we didn't have any scenes of Dr. Dre
and it was a terrible
beating
movie.
his wife or anything. Like,
I wanted to see him beat a woman.
No, it's not that. But I'm just saying, like, I think in these type of movies, when you come into people who are controversial, and you have either whether it be family or somebody else involved, and I think with the Michael Jackson one, some of the family is somewhat involved.
Well, I think his nephew is playing him.
Well, that's my point. There is like, if you're gonna go into controversial territory, that's probably not where you're going to get it.
No, I mean, like, what's the point?
I mean, do you want to know what the point is?
Let me finish, Stuart.
Money.
Straight Outta Compton. No, I mean, yeah, money is the point. But, like, I was going to say, like, Straight Outta Compton was just, like, a PR thing. And that's all this Michael Jackson thing feels like. Let's make Michael Jackson, like, good in the eyes of the public again.
I mean, NWA's though is popular enough that the movie did well. Like, I'm not.
I mean, I think the movie definitely revived NWA specifically.
I don't know about that, but I mean, I just think it's one of those things when you do like NWA is popular enough that I think if you're gonna make a like be the first ones to really take a real crack at making a movie based on that group, I think it's gonna make money regardless of how much, you know. How good the film actually is or not. And Michael Jackson is controversial, but there will be a fuck ton of people who go to see it just because it's Michael Jackson.
And that sounds, I don't know. It still doesn't make me want to see it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's totally fair.
Like, comparing NWA to Michael Jackson's a little different. Not that Straight Outta Compton shouldn't have covered that stuff with Dre, but also that movie is about multiple people as opposed to just one person. And I also think, like, the way the Michael Jackson stuff happened, everyone knew about it, right? Like,
it was everyone. The biggest story in the world.
And, like, it still is. Like, to Matt's point, there's still, like, ramifications. There's documentaries. There's still more stuff coming out about it. Like, maybe not as much as there used to be, but, like, I can listen to an NWA song and I don't necessarily, maybe it's my fault, but I can listen to an NWA song. I listen to a Dr. Dre song and I don't necessarily think about that stuff. If I listen to a Michael Jackson song, I like, it's impossible for me not to think about all the controversy around him. And I think, like, making a movie about him without addressing that kind of stuff just seems so tone deaf and so, like,
I mean, they might though.
I guess we don't know for sure, they probably will if the estate is involved and his cousin or whatever is playing him, you know, like I'm sure they're going to gloss over it and I'm sure it'll make a lot of money either way, but I'm with Matt in that I think it is incredibly stupid and I probably won't see that movie.
I mean, I don't disagree with you guys. I just think I understand why
do
it. I mean, Michael Jackson, I mean, regardless of controversy, you know, is still to this day seen as one of the, you know, like the kings of pop. Like,
sure.
He's got a fan base still. So I mean, regardless of controversy, like people will go see it.
Yeah. And people still listen to his music. I mean, I don't go out of my way to listen to it, but when I hear it on the radio or whatever, not the radio, I sound like an old man. When I hear it at a bar or whatever, I'm like, all right, this is good. This is good. So it's, I don't know. It's complicated.
That's the thing. It's extremely complicated. But I think if anything, you know, doing a movie based on him and not addressing it at all would be a disservice to even Michael himself, if we really wanted to go into it. Because like you said, it was a massive part of the latter part of his life with everything that was, you know, coming out, what was true, what wasn't true. And it's like, that's why I think even tackling it's not the brightest, because then you're going to go into territory of what did they cover, what didn't they cover, and it's just, yeah, I don't know, I wouldn't want to touch it.
They should only do like the first half of his life, and then
maybe from when he was like a kid right before he went into adulthood,
and then end it with like part two is coming in this year, whatever, and then just never work on it again. We don't hear anything, doesn't happen. Just
exactly,
leave it at that.
Michael
Jackson's abuse accusers want trial date before Michael biopic, which there's still a trial because they're still trying to sue the estate, which whatever, like I'm not here to like be like, oh, he definitely did it or he definitely didn't do it, but like it just feels fucking icky to me, man. Like,
well, no, I'm with you. I guarantee you his nephew and everyone that's there is, like I said, I think it would be a bad call to do the movie and not have something with it. But it's an odd choice.
What if there's a scene like when there's where the kid is like, trying to like, touch me, Michael, touch me. And he's like, no, I won't touch you. And then like, okay, that's,
I don't mean like that. I'm just saying like, it's a weird move, especially if his estate does have anything to do with it. It's like, it's an odd, like they're usually, I mean, it seems like at least from the past till now, anything they chose to do with Michael, you know, it's been like, they did that hologram tour thing, you know, there was just random things, but nothing like where they would be forced into a weird position, where this, it will force them into that position, whether they like it or not. You know what I mean?
I guess so.
Well, I mean, like, if you like example, you go to a, like, someone saying like, oh, we're doing like a, you know, Captain Nemo thing at Disneyland, or they're doing like a hologram Michael Jackson show in Vegas. Like, you're going to go to that show. It's just going to be a hologram of Michael Jackson playing songs. This is a movie that's supposed to be like covering his life. Like personal life. Yeah. So it's, I'm saying in that, you're going to bring those people that are going to want to bring up like those controversial aspects of his life.
Yeah. I don't know.
Weird decision.
Um, Yeah, I they're gonna show scenes of Joe Jackson beating up his kids. like,
did you just laugh at child abuse, Matt?
No, I laughed at this is the state of biopics where it's like, can't wait to see like I'm not saying you can't show trauma in movies. It's just like, here comes another biopic where the parent doesn't like the son, but the son, this and this or whatever. I don't know. It's stupid.
No, yeah, no, I'm with you.
I would have thought it was a bad idea. Without all the controversy.
I mean, it's really when you're doing movies like this. I mean, sometimes they don't even. I mean, I don't know how it did. Like, obviously, not a controversial figure in any regard, but like, I don't even know how that new Bob Marley film did, and they advertised the shit out of it.
Oh, I heard it was bad, but
see, I didn't see it. but I didn't really hear anything about it, which I feel like usually with a movie like that isn't the greatest sign.
Yeah, I think it had like a 57 or something on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which isn't even, like awful. It's just like
It made 100 million.
Oh, okay.
Like
that's not
terrible. The budget was 70 million and then the box office was 177.
I mean, I was about to say though, I mean, I'm sure they spent like I've saw the trailer for that movie so many fucking times.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they spent a lot of money on advertising.
Yeah, I don't think I'll ever be able to get the, like, that, don't worry, like,
horror
version of it or whatever, where they're like, don't worry, and then it, like,
oh, right.
All the music cuts out and adds reverb, and it's like, don't worry. It's so bizarre. It's like, all right.
They could have totally put it in the Us trailer.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, all right, I get it. This is what everyone's got to do for their trailers now. Whatever.
Well, it's just like, I mean, when they do their like, when they have like some like 25 year later sequel or whatever to a movie, and they always play the theme with like really slow, sad piano.
Yeah.
To make you go, oh, like, God. Oh, we're taking this fucking serious this time, boys. And you're like, this is Ghostbusters, right? Do I remember the original? Like, am I losing my mind? Was it like that overtly serious? So yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Those type of things I just always find funny when they're like, let's I mean, I will say, at least with the new Beetlejuice one, they kind of made a joke out of it in the trailer. Like, that they were, like, singing it at a funeral. Like, I thought that was kind of funny. But most other things, it's like, remember? And I just, I remember. It doesn't mean that's going to...
Starts playing the notes on a piano.
I know. It's like, that's not... I don't know, like, if that's going to change.
Oh, my God, that's the song!
Like, they did that with every Jurassic World sequel. They did the slow piano of the theme. It's like, okay, guys. We know.
Yeah,
We like the original, too.
I rewatched The Fallen Kingdom the other night, and... They sell a dinosaur for $10 million in that movie, and I thought that was really affordable, to be honest.
Honestly?
That's pretty cheap for a dinosaur, man.
Fair I bet you price. Could make so much money back if you had a dinosaur. Like, take out a loan for $10 million, and then just... Of course, it'd probably die so quick, or it would kill me quick, and I wouldn't make anything.
I'd feed it, like, ice cream, and I'd be like, oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly.
She's a clone!
They're alive, just like me.
They're alive, just like me. All right, little girl, we'll forgive you for...
It's like, we'll forgive you for doing the potential,
potential murders people.
T-Rexes
dinosaurs.
Are now free, roaming the planet.
And, like, it's just like Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard just looking at each other like, I guess.
God.
And then, I mean...
Oh, yeah, man.
I don't know.
Jeremy Allen White as the boss.
What?
Forgot about that.
In what?
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, is that happening? Is a Bruce Springsteen biopic with him coming out?
Apparently.
Honestly, I could see him as Bob Dylan.
But it's about like, it's not a biopic. It's well, I mean, it's a biopic, but like it's about the making of Nebraska.
Interesting.
It's not. It's like
that's
it's
a
not
state,
a.
Matt. What are you talking about?
It's an album, you goofus. You're being silly.
Is it though?
Yeah, it's an album.
That is it.
Oh, the four Beatles biopics. How could we fucking forget them?
Oh, yeah. Wait. What?
Biopic for each of the Beatles.
Oh my. Is it like the same director for each one?
Yeah, Sam Mendes is doing it.
No, he's not.
He's doing all four.
Sam Mendes, no. Please, you're better than this.
Coming out in 2027, apparently.
Oh, so like he's already like almost done.
No, dude, 2027 well, not is almost 3 years.
But, like, I don't mean like that, but like I mean like they're he's gonna try to go. But I mean like, saying. I mean like he's like, well, like yeah, like the plan is just to get them all over with at once.
Yeah, I imagine there's gonna be so much overlap, right? Where it's like,
damn, I like Sam Mendes.
He's gonna need all four of the actors together for so much of it for all of these films. That's a hell of an undertaking that we'll see if it pays off.
I mean, like, it's just one of those things. It's like, I'd like to just see, like, you know. I mean, no, it was the last one that he did that I loved. Oh, I loved, like, 1917. Like.
Yeah, when I was watching 1917, Skyfall. You know, I was like, man, this guy should make four movies, one for each Beatle. I'd love that.
That's crazy.
It's a weird thing, right?
It is. I mean. Ringo needs a movie?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kidding. I love Ringo, and I'm with you.
I don't know. It's just like, it's such a... And like I mean, like, they're all probably going to be like 2.5 hour movies, too, is the thing.
Are they going to be... But do you think that he's filming them simultaneously as in, like, four different cameras where he's doing...
No, I mean, I think it's gonna be the same
movie, but with monologue from one of the Beatles.
I
want to know. I want to know who's gonna play Eric Clapton in that.
Oh man, who would be? I'm trying to think.
I don't know, but
Mickey Rourke.
Who is it? Is it Harrison? Harrison's.
George Harrison.
George Harrison's the one who had the love triangle, right, with Eric Clapton.
Well, one second, I'm about to sneeze. All right,
bless you. Bless you.
Eric Clapton loved Patty Boyd, who was George Harrison's wife.
That's what
and George
it was.
Harrison was like, dude, no, I'm way into Hinduism right now. I am way into Hinduism. You can have her. And he was like, I'm just gonna fucking meditate.
Oh, but you know, and that's going to be so dramatic that they're like, oh, we got a love triangle we can play around with here.
We got our own little Twilight in the Beatles universe.
George Harrison also like fucked Ringo's wife and got blowjobs while he played the ukulele and stuff like that.
Okay, so
they're probably
going to
show none
be,
of that.
Oh, well, what's the point?
Well, I don't know, to make money, like you said, Stuart.
I know. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how interconnected they do. I mean, that's the one thing I'd be interested. I mean, first off, Sam Mendes is a great fucking director. So that alone makes me curious.
They should get Kevin Feige in there. He knows how to connect films together.
Oh, hell yeah.
The musician connected universe. Bring in Bob Marley and get the actor from One Love.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Johnny Cash
after those
up.
Come out, yeah, let's do some spin-offs, and that's when Eric Clapton will get his own thing, and, you know, maybe a Zeppelin one, a Stones one. Be great.
Interconnected music universe. Yeah, that'd be awful. Yeah, I'm interested to see if they do kind of tell it, like, one story with shifting perspectives. Like, that would be interesting. It'd be annoying if they pulled a vantage point. Where it's like the beginning of their lives and then just the same scenes with certain events.
But different perspectives.
But different perspectives. God. Like if they did the vantage point with the Beatles, I would be so irritated. Yeah. Like so quick.
You know what? That's kind of why I like the Peter Jackson Get Back recordings where he basically like made it so that people could see these rehearsals that were never released, and that was wild because I had literally never seen those before. And when I was a teenager, like, teachers were like, we're worried about Matt, he really likes the Beatles.
I mean, they're like one of the most popular bands ever.
Yeah, but I would write all my essays about like John Lennon's ideas on religion and stuff. Like I was a little obsessed with the Beatles as a teenager.
Matt.
But I was just like, here's one thing, and here is like 4 hours of footage of them arguing, and George Harrison bringing these weird Hindu worship people who just sit in the corner and meditate the whole time, and John's bringing Yoko, and Ringo's just there looking so fucking tired and smoking while Paul actually makes music, and everyone's just like, it's fucking bizarre.
I mean, what, maybe they'll try to capture moments like that in the movies. I mean, Sam Mendes, that'd be all,
that is a cool idea for a movie where it's like, we are going to do one thing. We are going to show the Beatles making Abbey Road, and it's going to be four different movies of the Beatles' lives around that time. And it's like, cool, I'm in. If it's like
them from childhood,
you have to watch. You have to watch John Lennon's life. I'm like, dude, I've read books. I don't want to see that.
Didn't John Lennon and Paul McCartney jerk each other off, or was that fake?
I think they may have jerked off in the same room together.
Or that's what it was, where they
turn off the lights.
And yeah.
Or like, I think even like sat there and been like, hey man, this is pretty cool, right?
Yeah. I wonder if that's gonna be while they did it. I think they'll probably put that in.
There's a lot of there's a movie where it's like John Lennon's vacation with their manager Brian Epstein, because everyone thought John was gay. So there's like a movie that like chronicles that vacation, and it's super weird.
All right.
Yeah.
And then there's a movie starring Kick-Ass where he played John Lennon.
What is that?
And then you haven't seen it? Oh, it's called Nowhere Boy. And
oh yeah, I remember that.
It's the movie where he met his future wife, who was like 30 years older than him or something like that. And he was 17 when he started that movie, and now they're married. I mean, like, whatever, man. Love is love, but that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Just in case Aaron Taylor Johnson is listening to the podcast, I said love
we're,
is
we're,
love.
We support you and your choices.
I don't. I
his choices.
It is a weird thing, dude. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's probably the new James Bond.
He might be.
Seems that way.
He was the old John Lennon.
Yeah.
Now someone else is going to be John Lennon.
I'm curious to see who they cast in these roles without them coming off as parodies.
Maybe they cast Aaron Taylor Johnson again as James Bond. Or, sorry, John Lennon. Got them mixed up, you know?
Honestly, I feel like they'd have to get kind of like out their choices so that you can really... I think it's important when you have like the Beatles to get people who you're not going to be focused on them doing an impression of someone. Especially if you're going to do four fucking movies.
God, dude. What a bad idea. Almost like, as bad as Darren Aronofsky's idea to do a biopic of Elon Musk.
Oh, God. Is that a thing,
too? Is he planning on doing that?
Yeah. Didn't you guys hear?
No.
Look it up. Elon Musk biopic, Darren Aronofsky.
I'll let one of you look it up and just tell me what it says.
Okay.
I don't want my computer to stop.
Elon Musk biopic.
Is he going to play
Elon
Musk?
Elon Musk biopic in the works at A24 with Darren Aronofsky
yep,
set to direct.
I see it. Variety. Interesting. That sounds miserable.
I feel like we need some more years with Elon before that should be considered a thing.
Yeah, I don't think you should be allowed to make a biopic unless the person you're making about is dead.
You know, honestly, I'm not really opposed to that idea.
Like, I think there are exceptions, but like someone like Elon, I think we're good. I don't think we need that.
Even if we did, I feel like there has not been enough time and things with him done that would warrant a movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Darren Aronofsky, I do like Darren Aronofsky.
Seems like a fucking crazy idea.
Choice. What about like who would be a bio if you had to pick someone from history? who would you want a biopic done on?
Oh God, oh, I don't know.
Or someone, or at least one that you could see a like a certain director killing it with.
I mean, I don't know. I know we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but I've been like waiting for this Frank Sinatra biopic by Scorsese for a long time.
It's oh, Teddy teased. Roosevelt too.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Leo is Teddy. Leo is Sinatra.
Yeah, just have, Leo should just do every biopic.
Might as well at this point. Shift, got J. Edgar down already.
To shift gears a little bit here, did you guys listen to Euphoria?
Sure did.
By Kendrick Lamar.
Sure did. I mean,
yeah, I did.
I mean, I'm just gonna say my piece now because we haven't really talked about it up until this point. I've never liked Drake. I still don't like Drake. I don't understand Drake. Fuck Drake. And Kendrick is king. There you go.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, Drake sucks.
And Drake's also a pedo.
Yeah.
He certainly comes off.
Or sorry. He gives off pedo vibes. Let me rephrase it. He's not a pedophile to my knowledge, but he does exhibit pedo vibes.
He gives off vibes of a person who says, actually, it's called aphebophilia or aphebophilia when they're teenagers. And that's the vibe I get from him.
I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like, isn't it like kind of just almost been known for a while that Drake's kind of a shady individual? It's kind of weird that he would decide
people. Yeah, well, that on
that. Well, that too. But like just on the for that and then for you to tackle someone right now who's considered, you know, one of the greatest rappers of his generation or even in like the running of all time. And you decide that that's the guy that this guy wants to have a beef with.
Also, someone who's like very private. Normally, yeah. And doesn't like try to fight for headlines or whatever. He just kind of does what he wants to do. And like,
I mean, fucking Kanye got involved in this shit.
Yeah. Like. But yeah, I listened to it once, or I've listened to it a lot now. But when I first listened to it, I was like, oh man, this is brutal. But I listened to it and I was like, all right, I don't think I'll listen to it again. It seems kind of like it. Cause like a lot of diss tracks feel more like gimmicky, you know, where you listen to once and you're like, oh shit, I can't believe that happened. Or he said that or whatever. And then you move on. But I keep listening to this song. I think it's so good. I really liked, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, but I feel like this song has like old Kendrick energy that I've missed,
which is what I missed on that album.
Yeah, where it's like because I listened to that album a couple times through from start to finish, and I was like, man, this is really good, but it is not fun to listen to, and I don't want to listen to like it apart from a couple songs in there. But man, hearing this, I'm like, oh man, I hope Kendrick's next album doesn't need to be a diss track, but I just hope he is like going hard
like that, because when he does, it's fucking killer.
Yeah,
I think it's just a bummer because. Well, it's not a bummer. I don't know why I said bummer, but I think that it's interesting because I did hear Drake's little ghostwritten track or whatever. Isn't that another thing? Like, it's pretty like he's infamous for having ghostwriters.
But, yeah.
Like, I thought it was accused of being that.
Well, I think even the credits on his song was not written. He didn't have writing credits on,
oh my God.
The diss track. Like, I think someone pulled up the credits. I don't know. It could have been fake.
Who knows, but... The thing, I mean, here's my thing, regardless of any of that. The man decided to do an AI voice of Tupac, which you just don't fucking do, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then decided to do an AI voice for Snoop Dogg, who's very much alive.
Wait, what was this?
Drake did, like, his little, like, diss before that led to the Euphoria. And at the beginning of it, he does like he's like acting like he's Tupac and Snoop Dogg.
I actually didn't even listen to it, but now I kind of want to listen to it just because it sounds like
you should just because it's in such bad taste, and you can tell that you could just kind of tell from like what he's saying that he's proud of it. You could just tell, like, I mean, regardless of if he wrote it or not, that he's like, I got him. I'm got the ghost of Tupac with me and the alive ghost of Snoop Dogg with me. And you're just like, it's just in such bad and weird taste, and it, I just like, and that's the other thing too. Say you like Drake. Is there any Drake fan who could honestly say that he is a more talented individual than Kendrick Lamar? Like, really? I
mean, there are people.
Is there anyone
who
that wants to argue
so,
that?
But they're all on the wrong side of history.
You're on the very wrong side of history, folks. I'm sorry to tell you. Very weird, very bizarre, and yeah, I would. I mean, honestly, my favorite thing about the Kendrick thing is it came off more as a warning than him like just trying to completely go for a jugular. I mean, like, there's brutal lines in it for sure, but
yeah,
you could tell like he could totally fucking like really go at him if he says some other shit.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no. Kendrick,
remember when
Kendrick
Eminem
MVP?
Would like have rap battles with Mariah Carey?
Oh, dude. I, you know what? I'll say, so dumb. I'll say, dude, Eminem's diss tracks are fantastic, though.
Oh.
I'm sorry. They're so funny. Like, Eminem, I mean, you don't have to like him.
Way, sure.
You don't have to like Eminem, but his fucking disses, like, he does not pull any punches. And I love it.
I like Eminem. I think he's like one of those. Like, listen, I've grown up, but I still love Rob Zombie. My love for Eminem has definitely diminished as I've become an adult.
Are you gonna tell me you didn't think that Kill Shot was pretty fun?
Which diss was that?
That was the one towards MGK because he called out.
Oh,
he was talking.
I thought
about
that
his
was really lame. Like, I just thought the whole situation was lame.
Dude, that song's so catchy.
I thought it was above him. Like, I like.
I mean, he literally
like,
forced
Kendrick Lamar
him into
is
another...
dissing Drake, who's the biggest artist in the world. Eminem was dissing MGK, who was trying to be relevant.
Well, MGK, like, talked shit about his daughter first. That's what.
No, I know.
It. I mean, it doesn't. I mean, I don't know. I think Killshot was funny.
I guess I don't know.
I mean, especially
I was talking to Jake
that
I think like a lot of like most rap beefs are like really dumb,
fabricated.
Well, sure,
especially
all,
these
I
days.
I mean, like even if you want to look at the one that we're currently talking about, these are like what men in their 40s. Like
yeah, but I think Kendrick has
Kendrick
some, like,
at least is like, but Kendrick though, like even to Jake's credit, he's not one to like be a real headline of drama. Drake is. All the fucking time.
Yeah, and I think
and
Kendrick
most
has
beefs.
Let
are
me finish.
Big
Kendrick well. Has some like legitimate like issues with Drake and what he stands for and who he is, and that's evident from the song.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is more. I don't know. I feel it's more worthy than I don't know like.
I'm not saying to compare.
It's more interesting than just like, hey, fuck you, you little bitch. I'm the. You think you're the rap king? Well, I'm the rap god. Skibbity doo wop ba bing bang bong.
I don't know. I thought Kill Shot was.
That's
funny.
An awfully hot coffee pot.
Oh man. Anyway. We should call it. I think the episode is done.
Yeah,
it's,
I'm tired.
It flatlined a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, when we got into Eminem.
I mean,
which is my fault.
We don't have to
I brought
about
him up.
Eminem. I was just you know.
Apparently he's releasing a new album.
Well, you won't listen to it, so that's okay.
Well, I'll give it a shot.
Why would you? You hate Eminem.
Cuz I'm interested.
You hate Eminem though.
No, I don't.
I know. I'm sorry.
Thank you for apologizing.
I love you.
Now apologize to the audience.
I apologize, audience. Matt doesn't hate Eminem.
Why are you apologizing?
He doesn't hate Eminem.
I told you to.
He doesn't hate Eminem at all.
I don't.
In fact,
but I do love
some part of him.
Gears.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.